It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And Coach, I love when we get Jarrett Paul on the show because there's going to be so much to dive into, to dig into. It's always awesome when he takes the time to join us on Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. But we'll get to that here in a second. But a lot of stuff to cover. And we want to thank Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing for all the support that he does for Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach.
Yeah, and he was at two Invitationals this last weekend. He was down in Greensboro as well as at the Land of Lincoln's Invitational. Two booths set up, and they had a vote. I'm interested to see who won.
And you'll be able to watch that on Jimmy's Facebook page. Jimmy, thank you so much. So look for Jimmy Blair, Pinnacle Racing, on Facebook. Find them at pinnacleracing.com. And we're back with Jarrett Paul on Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet too. So here's what you want to do. Check out PinnacleRacing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers-themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at PinnacleRacing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like five ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it, Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach, and Jarrett Paul is with us. Jarrett, how's it going?
Hello, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. Doing very well. How's everything with you guys?
Cold.
It's not that bad. It's going to get worse.
Says the guy with the Transformers stocking cap on his head.
I'm a little, and I got like three shirts on, but still, it's not too bad. I was looking at the calendar, Jarrett, and I was like, okay, when was the last time that I actually skated outside? And it's been a bit, and that's kind of a bummer, you know?
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that. I was actually just down in Miami skating in a short sleeve uniform, having a great time.
Okay, so you officially suck, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. We're now going to blacklist you from ever being on Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach.
Bringing that dirty words like summer and short sleeve shirts here to us.
Man, no, that is that. I mean, it sounds fantastic. It really does.
So, where were you at this last weekend?
I actually went down to the Bank Track down in Brian Piccolo Park down in the Miami area.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I ended up meeting up with Francisco Ramirez from NTC, and
yep.
You know, we did some training, some talking about the future, and
some testing.
A lot of good stuff to come.
Did you do some wheel testing?
They actually did for some 125s. They're working on doing something a little bit different.
Okay.
So I know there's always good things to come from them.
Right.
You know, doing some different urethane testing. So yeah.
I told everybody you were not at Land of Lincoln for fear of racing me on my quads. That's what I told everybody.
He did. Yes, he made a point of stressing that.
Well, I mean, he is pretty much right. I mean, the last thing I want to do is get embarrassed on quads again, like the Nationals 2014. So, you know, can't handle that.
I think at practice, the first thing on, you know, we get there for practice on Monday. It was the first practice after the Invitational. And Coach didn't want to highlight any of the other skaters. He said, look, I scared off Jarrett Paul. He did not want to race me. That was the whole point of his speech at the practice the other night.
I got rave reviews, too. It was great.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, I actually believed him there for a second. Hey, and you mentioned, all right, so Jarrett, you know, you're skating this past weekend, and you mentioned the future. What are some of the things in the future with you? What all do you have lined up?
You know, I've actually started, you know, shifting gears a little bit and actually started training some people from our team. You know, working on them with a lot of technique and, you know, for outdoor and indoor, and really focusing on trying to get everybody to be a little more efficient on their skates. You know, because I realized after coming back from Worlds this last year, a lot of what separated us was how technically perfect a lot of those other countries are at outdoor.
Mm.
You know, so coming back, that's something I really wanted to focus on because it seems like we're all pretty strong. You know, strength doesn't really seem to be our weakness. A lot of it just seems to be that these guys are just so efficient on their skates. You know, so I just really went back to the drawing boards and, you know, try to figure out what was separating them from us.
So the common argument is those people, and when I say those people, people in other countries, they have a lot of outdoor competitions that they travel to. In Colombia, I mean, you got like 25 rinks within like a 2-hour drive of each other. And it's like they have the ability to have all of these outdoor competitions going at the same time and while they're training. Whereas here, obviously in the States, we only have a couple of competitions and really only one major competition being ODN. So, I mean, do you see that as a solid factor as well, or do you think we can get there just by concentrating at practices on our efficiency and not worrying about the racing so much?
Don't get me wrong, man. It's both. They're both equally as important.
Yeah.
Because, again, you could be strong and technically perfect, but if you don't know where to place yourself in a race, none of that matters.
Right.
And, again, vice versa. Let's say you do know where you need to be, but if you're not as efficient on your skates and you're not able to put down the same amount of power as these guys, again, they still have one up on us.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I do think they're equally as important. We definitely need more outdoor races. Especially more outdoor races on the bank tracks that we do have available to us.
Okay.
Because, go ahead.
So why do we not have that? Why do we not utilize Florida? Why do we not utilize, Colorado? As a country, I mean, you've been skating for a very long time, and you kind of have your pulse on skaters in general, and it seems like numbers have been dwindling over the years. It seems like the lack of enthusiasm to truly want to be the best. It's almost like our skaters are just very, very satisfied and content to say, I made it to this level. And it may just be, I don't know, making it to regionals, or maybe it's making it to nationals and not really being a champion at nationals, or maybe it's just making it onto the world team. And it really doesn't matter that I didn't medal as much as it matters that I was on the team and can say, I was one of the six guys or girls that made it onto the team. So how do we get these skaters there? I mean, what do you think the trick is?
I mean, that's a pretty loaded question. There's a lot to it. I mean, in reference of people just being satisfied making the world team, I think a lot of that has to do with, again, we haven't challenged ourselves to be up to a certain level. And I think a lot of that is, again, how many races do we have a year outdoor?
One.
So, exactly. There's like maybe four across the country throughout the year.
Yeah.
So, most of these people, they only get to race these races. Actually, some of them only go to outdoor nationals. They don't go to any other outdoor events.
Right.
So, with that being said, they never have an understanding of where they stand. You know, and a lot of these people have not been to a world championship. They don't understand what that level is like.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, without understanding exactly what needs to happen, like without seeing that level, it's not going to click. When I went to Worlds my first time, it really blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because just to see the passion out there and the intensity and, you know, the numbers, all these different things really motivated me to want to be there. Whereas skating inside the U.S., it's a lot of the passion has been lost. You know, when you go to races and all of a sudden you start seeing a quarter of the numbers that we used to get, the smaller the sport gets, the less passion people start to have for it, the less appreciation they have for it. Again, beyond that, as far as getting people motivated to get to this point, I do think being able to get to some international races throughout the year, just to kind of see what it's like at that level outdoor, I think that'll be a pretty good motivating factor. Because, again, if you've never seen a level like that, then you don't understand what you're training for. And you don't know how to adjust your training schedule for that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And we always talk, obviously, it's easy to say, yeah, just get to international competitions. But honestly, if your goal is to get on the world team, go to Worlds and compete, you also have to say, just like you said, Jarrett, you've got to go overseas before that and get a taste of what it's like. You just have to. You've got to figure out a way, whether it's fundraising, whether it's working extra, whether it's a GoFundMe. There are ways out there that can help you out. So that way, when you get to Worlds, you're not flying blind when you get there.
Yeah, and there's really no reason why we can't do that either with Joe Cotter, you know, running the Trois-Pys, and he makes that very affordable for people to get over and catch that tour in France. And Jay with his training camp, you know, over in Geisingen, that's a very affordable way of actually getting over. And to be honest with you, and I know that you've done it as well, Jarrett, it's not horribly expensive to get down to Colombia. It's a fairly easy trip, if I'm not mistaken, and we're usually very well received. Is that correct?
That is. And I was actually talking to Francisco about that as well. You know, I think a lot of it is people just don't really understand the opportunity that is there.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times you have to know somebody that has connections down there. And a lot of people don't understand the network of people that we actually have here that can open up those doors to go race down there.
Right.
But yeah, as you guys were saying, I mean, realistically, $400 or $500 for a round trip flight, you know, place to stay, and being able to race is really the cost of going down there.
You're saying it's only about $500
that going to an invitational even more.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You're saying it's only about $500 to get down to Colombia and skate in an international competition?
Depending on what time of year you go, sometimes you find flights for like $200, $250. Now that's out of Miami.
I don't know
where it is for the rest of the country, but.
Gotcha.
You know, if you can get a flight to Miami, generally you can find them anywhere from $200 to $400, depending on how much time you give to book your flight and during what duration you're going for.
Right.
Yeah, there are options out there, and if you plan for it, and just like you were saying, Jarrett, we have a big network out there that really take advantage of, and you would be surprised the number of skaters that will open up their homes.
Yeah,
whether it be in another country. They're like, hey, you skate, I skate, come on, here's a place for you to stay so we can knock some of that money off of what the overall cost is.
Is the coaching staffs down that way and whatnot, are they usually receptive to helping out American athletes that are traveling down? Say there's a couple of athletes coming down, are they that receptive to do that?
From what I understand, from the people that I've known that have went down there, they've welcomed them with open arms.
Okay.
You know, and that has been to select groups of skaters. But then again, no one else has really tried to go down there. So, you know, I don't really know how the politics works and whatnot. But once again, getting in contact with the right people, you know, I don't see why not. It seems like every time, you know, I've been invited to go down there. Many other athletes that I know have been invited to go down there at any time and to stay for, you know, any length of time for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, yes, it sounds like they are very receptive to having us down there.
Yeah, you would think Kelly Springer would be able to hook that up, or even Francisco would be able to at least facilitate an invitation or facilitate an email correspondence with somebody that you could actually get some solid information from. So I'm going to reach out to both those guys and see what is available, and maybe if we can get some information pumped out there and get some athletes down there. But so what's your training like? Are you making another run, my friend, for Worlds and going to Holland, or are you kind of drifting into that I'm going to be a coach and be the best indoor skater I can be while trying to coach some of these athletes? What do you got on tap?
Oh no, man, my focus still remains the same. I can't give up the competitive edge until I come home with a world medal. It's just I've been too close too many times to just let that go.
That's awesome.
You know, so that's why a lot of what I did when I came home, I really did some thinking. And, you know, if I'm going to go at it again, especially the older you get, it doesn't get any easier. You have bills, physically, it's harder to recover, all these different things. So if I was going to really go at it again, I'm going to put in 100%, do my research, figure out what I did at Worlds this year, and find my weak points and trying to turn them into strengths. Because that's the only way that we're going to be able to go down there and do anything different.
So this brings me up. I posted out on Facebook. I try to get out on Facebook when I have a guest coming in. I know that we got a hold of you late, had a cancellation, and Jarrett Paul, within an hour of the show, took time out of his schedule to be here, so I wasn't able to really get a good response out there. But Aaron Baldwell from the Wisconsin area, he wrote in a question. He says, what was his motivation as an amateur, and what keeps him going to this day? Now, obviously, we know what keeps you going to this day. That's that elusive gold medal you want from Worlds. So that's a no-brainer at this point after what you just said. But what was the motivation as an amateur for you?
Honestly, a lot of that drive came from my father. It was one of those things to where if you're going to do something, you're going to go all in and you're going to put everything you have into it. And just from having that, I like whatever I do, I want to be the best at. Doesn't matter what it is. I don't care if we're playing cards, we're playing pool, we're walking down the street, I'm going to walk better than you can walk. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't matter what it is. So my motivation was always to catch that next person. I get as fast as that person, I catch the next one. You know, every time I go to a meet, I'd get a little better results. I'd be like, all right, cool. What do I got to do to get better to, propel myself up to that top three placement? You know, and as you start getting better and as you start winning more, there's a certain feeling that you end up getting. It's very empowering. Not to mention, you wind up getting... a little bit more respect from people, and people start taking your opinions more seriously. So all those different things played into the motivation to keep wanting to get better. And beyond that, to be able to eventually give back,
So
that's what it all came down to.
So what is your training? Like, if you had to take us through the day-to-day of your training regimen, can you kind of walk us through that? Because I know a lot of the athletes are really curious about what you do to get you to that level that you're at.
And please tell me you start off with a bowl of sugar smacks.
Oh, my God, Cocoa Puffs. Come on, man.
There you go, yes.
Yes.
Validation.
My second,
yes.
My second choice, yes. So I am healthy.
But no, seriously, the nutrition and the diet aspect is hugely important. It all comes down to your recovery. If you're not recovering properly, I don't care how hard you train, you're going to dig yourself into a hole because you're not recovering properly to go hard the next day. So with that being said, as of right now, everything is still base building for me. So, for example, my Mondays look like I wake up, I make some waffles with almond milk, some walnuts I throw in there, something that doesn't have lactose in it. So when I'm making my waffles, eat food, go out for a bike ride, 15, 20 miles, come back home, get some stuff done. By 3 o'clock, I'm out doing a private lesson with somebody on skates. So at that point, I get another hour on my skates to where I could work on my technique while helping them. And then I end up coming home, resting for about an hour and a half, and then I end up going to the gym with two or three other athletes that I'm training. And then from there, we go through about a two-hour training workout with a circuit. So do squats, low walks, jumps, abs. After that, we end up doing some upper body. So it ends up being a pretty complete day.
So
and then,
what?
Tuesday, again, go out, cycle, train somebody else for another hour. I'll work on technique while I'm working with them. Come back, rest a little bit, get some things done around the house. And then I go and get a two and a half hour indoor practice with the team.
And now are you working during all this as well? Are you maintaining a job to live on, or?
As of right now, I've actually told myself that I do not want to work a 9-to-5 job anymore. It was driving me nuts. It was killing my training time. And I just wasn't happy with what I was doing. So I've actually taken what I've learned in skating and being able to apply it to training kids on the team, doing clinics, you know, different things like that to be able to keep an income coming. So as of right now, no more 9-to-5. I figured I want to utilize the knowledge that I have and while giving back, make money at the same time.
I like it.
Hey, good for you. That's awesome. That really is. And
yeah, I'm calling my boss tomorrow and quitting. I mean,
heck yeah.
But if that's all it takes.
I tell you what, though, that dedication and figuring a way to keep income coming in but still being able to maintain your training, that's going to be what gives you that medal at Worlds. I mean, that's really what it is right there.
Yes. You know, and beyond that, you know, working with NPC, I'm also working on doing a distributorship with them as well. So I'm going to be able to sell skate products. And then on top of that, me and my roommate actually started up a beverage company to where we actually started making a variety of different green teas. So it's nonstop throughout the day is trying to organize this new company to, you know, work with NPC on some big things in the future. So there's a lot going on. It sounds a lot easier than what it is.
Now, do you actually take, like, one day out of the week where it's like, okay, this is a day where I'm not training, I'm off skates, I'm just totally letting my body recover?
I try to do that on Fridays. But sometimes that gets interfered with, you know, doing a private lesson with somebody from the team. But if I can, Friday is like a nice veg-out day to where I just focus on working with the company and, you know, sales and whatnot.
Yeah, good for you. But I can see with what you do, it is difficult. And if someone calls up and wants to do a private lesson or you're off to a clinic somewhere that you're doing, well, you kind of have to do it, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You know, but at that point, it kind of is what it is. And if anything, you try to limit yourself to what your physical output is during those sessions.
Yeah, you still have some control because, you know, realistically, you're not training yourself. You're training that other skater. You just have to be on your skates while you're doing it.
Oh, yeah. And that's why working with technique is so beautiful, because we're not going that fast anyways.
And I wanted to talk about that because you brought up, right as soon as we started this episode of Skate Talk with Boomer and the coach, you brought up focusing on technique. What are some of the things, maybe some of the specific drills that you work on with your athletes to lock in that technique?
Really, what I'm trying to get them to do is focus on body positioning. Body positioning is everything. So, like, especially crossing in the corners, it seems kind of crazy, but starting with, let's say, if you're going into a cross off your right leg, your chin starts on the right side of your right leg. So your chin starts just on the outside of the right knee. And with that, your left shoulder is also slightly turned to the right. So it's almost like your body is diagonal. And then your hips are leaning into the corner. So it really starts with the chin to the outside of the right knee. And then trying to maintain that position as you're pushing through the right and then coming with your under push with your left. I mean, that's the biggest thing we try to work on, because that creates actual pressure underneath your skates. Wherever your chest is, that's where the pressure is going to be underneath your body.
Hmm. So have you ever experienced any issues with, say, somebody that has, like, severe knock knee, where their knees are really touching together and they struggle with their feet would be separated because their knees are touching? They just can't ever get their feet where their edges are right there together rolling down a straightaway, which forces a really hard time getting to the left edge of the left skate. The left edge of the right skate's easy. It's the left edge of the left skate that's hard to get to when you lean into the corner. So have you ever experienced anything with a knock-kneed individual, and what did you do to fix that issue?
Realistically, I would try to get down to the root of the problem. So generally, the knees will start coming in because somebody's pronating, and maybe they've done this over a very long period of time. So what I do with those people that end up pronating severely, for one, a big start is getting them shoes that have corrective arches in them. So that way they actually start walking with their pressure to the outside of the foot instead of directly to the inside of their foot, which usually causes their knees to come inwards. With that being said, I've been working with a lot of where to put pressure in your skates. So with that person that has that knock knee, so to speak, what they're going to end up doing is they're going to end up keeping pressure on the inside of their ankle. So what I'll tell them is I want them to turn their foot to the outside as if they're going to go on their outside edge or going into a corner. And I want them to feel pressure, feel where that puts pressure underneath their foot. And then you got to get it to where their pressure is directly underneath the frame. So that way they feel where that pressure point is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll kind of go through with them to where I'll have them feel the pressure underneath their ankle on the inside of their foot while their foot is turned to the outside. And wherever that pressure ends up underneath their foot, I'll tell them to focus on that point. It's a very specific feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you go into a corner, you have to feel that pressure underneath the boot on the bottom of your foot, because you don't want to actually put the pressure on the ankles to fall into the corner. And by directing that pressure underneath the foot, it actually keeps their ankle straight instead of pronating or supinating.
Gotcha. Wow, because I know I run into that issue, especially like on my right foot, where the ankle tends to, like, you know, fold in on itself sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, what steps can I do to correct that? Because obviously then as soon as that ankle gives way, well, then it's very difficult to put any power through that because you've broken it.
Yeah. See, now I like his explanation really well, because I usually say, just lean over and go fast.
Yeah, I hear that enough. Trust me. Wow. I wake up in the middle of the night with, like, nightmares of that.
You know, it seems like we understand the concepts of what we're supposed to do with our body. But as far as what that feeling is inside of your skate, we can tell somebody all day long, tip your left shoulder up. Don't drop your shoulder into the corner. When you push through the bottom of your skate. You know, I want your knees in this position. You can tell people all day long, but until you show them what it actually feels like in their skates to put pressure in those specific spots, a lot of these people may just get lucky and start doing it, but the rest of them are going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over. And I've learned with a lot of people, everybody learns differently. So, you know, especially working with kids and even adults, everything has to be explained differently from each individual. So when I say something to one person, it doesn't mean it's going to resonate with that next person. You know, so half the battle is figuring out how these people learn, what words trigger trigger some type of feeling or emotion or, you know, feeling for them. You know, some people go by feel. Some people have to look down and actually physically see themselves doing something. You know, so it's a little bit different for everybody, which has been very, very tricky to figure out.
Yeah, that would be difficult as a coach because you're dealing with all sorts of different athletes. And I know for me, I have to feel it. It's like I can be told, but until I know what my body feels like to be in that particular position, that's when I finally the light clicks on. And I think what you said, Jared, is going to be extremely beneficial for a lot of the coaches and the athletes that are listening to Skate Talk right
now.
Well,
I'll be honest with you, and I've had opportunities to talk with world team coaches, world team members, many of skaters and coaches alike that were what I would consider arguably the best that we have. And I find myself always kind of learning something new. You know, it's interesting when you break down everything from, like you said, you know, your chin, right down through your shoulders, through your elbows, through your knees, through your hips, through your ankles, all of those things. Well, you start breaking everything down. Okay, so let's just, whatever, we'll look at it real quick and segment the body into 6 points. Well, if there's 6 points, if you go to any one point of the body, there's probably 10 different things about that one point of the body, which makes 60 things that you really need to kind of be focused on to get that perfect technique, so to speak, even though we know we can't always be perfect. But I really like the way you explained that. I hope all new coaches and all new as well as advanced skaters, I think, can learn from this, because I think sometimes we have some really great skaters that really don't know why they're great. They just go out and they just happen to light it up, and they're just naturally gifted to be kind of good with quick muscles and they're fast. But if they really truly knew why their body was doing what it did, who knows? Maybe there's something little bitty that they could change, like what he just talked about, that all of a sudden makes them into, like you just said, that elusive gold medal that they've been chasing down all of a sudden appears. So thanks for the solid advice.
No problem, man. You know, one other thing that I've really caught on to is, especially working with younger people and whatnot, obviously I can't go that deep into an explanation with a lot of different kids because it goes right over their heads. You know, it's been trying to find one or two things that can correct several things. So by saying one thing to somebody, you know, for me it was always tilting my head to the right, which actually took my left shoulder, pulled it up, and it actually set my hip in. So by doing one thing, it corrected two or three different problems. And by going in slowly through those different things, by telling them to do one specific action, a lot of times it'll end up correcting the body position and where they're putting the pressure down through their skates. So it's it's been really interesting kind of playing with these different things.
Man, I tell you, that is just a wealth of information, Jared, and time always flies by way too quick, so we have to have you back because there's so much more of the technical aspect stuff that we'd love to get into, and I mean, I really think there was so much knowledge in there, so thank you so much for joining us and just giving us some of your wisdom throughout today's episode. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We appreciate it, 100%.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Best of luck with everything. We will be in touch here before too long. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.